Hello, welcome to your meditation practice as part of the Open Heart Project. My name is Susan Piver. I am very happy to sit with you in meditation. We're going to sit together for 10 minutes and we're going to start soon. So please take your seat, get settled, whether you're on a cushion on the floor with your legs crossed loosely in front of you or in the equally spiritual chair or sofa. And if you can, sit with your feet flat on the floor. And if that is painful, don't do it. But do find a way to sit comfortably that also enables you to be upright. And before we sit, I want to continue the conversation began last week, which you don't have to go back and listen to that if you missed that one. But last week, I talked about how to work with the feelings of heartbreak. And I suggested there are three things one can do. And anything can break your heart. So if your heart is broken from lost love or from vast disappointment in the world or from losing something or someone, I think that these things can be helpful. I hope they can, certainly. So last week, I suggested that the first thing we need to do with when emotions are raging is learn somehow to work with our minds, not to fix them, because there's nothing wrong with them, or quell whatever is going on in there, but to address somehow the phenomenon of a mind that is speeding and that you feel you have no dominion over. And especially when your heart is broken from lost love, this just goes overtime. What if this? What if that? Why did I do this? How could I say that? Well, this is probably never going to happen, or this is always going to happen, you know, et cetera, and so forth. And this happens all day long, you know, when circumstances are really dire, and all night long, too, dreaming and mind have lunch. And so the first thing that one could do is learn to work with that. Not, again, I just want to be very clear, to change it, not to replace negative thoughts with positive ones, because they're all just thoughts and are equally useful and useless, I guess I would say. I mean, it's important to think about things, to contemplate, to reflect, to analyze. Absolutely. But I'm talking about the obsessive thought patterns that we feel we can't get away from. That's really not useful, not useful. So how do you start to work with this? And again, I want to say not to stop it, because that amplifies the aggression that's already present. When you're beating yourself up and raging against and hating what is actually happening, which is human and normal, so that's not the problem. But when you then add to that, you better shut up, it increases distress. And of course, you don't want to feel the way you feel, and you don't want to have these thoughts and so on, but it doesn't work to go shut up. So instead, you could develop the capacity to be with what is happening, which I know sounds counterintuitive because you just want it to stop. So, and if you can make it stop, great, do that. But in these circumstances, that's usually not possible. So what does seem to help, and we talked about this last week, is to relax with your mind as it does what it does, and to take a sort of different view of the avalanche as something that is happening in the atmosphere, in the environment, and just keeps moving. But you can see it from a stable position. How do you do that? It's called the practice of meditation. So we're going to do that shortly. But that is what I suggest as a way, not the only way, to learn to make space for your mind as it races. And it's the space that seems to continually shrink. But if you can expand it, you see that the thoughts, all the countless many thoughts, are only one thing that are actually going on within you. Okay, enough of that. Now, the second step, I want to suggest, once you have some sense of, okay, I'm in there, I'm working with it, it's not ruling me, I am dealing with it. And then we have this, the heat and passion and outrageous energy of the heart that is unleashed when suffering is extreme. Now we want to consider, how does one work with that? So I want to say that just like working with your mind, working with your heart, working with your feelings does not include telling this to shut up, does not include saying, please feel something different, because that doesn't work. You know, maybe in ordinary kinds of suffering, it does. I'll go for a walk, I'll watch TV, I'll go talk to a friend. Okay, cool. But with extreme suffering, for whatever the reason, those things don't help. So we have to learn to work with it. And in Buddhism, that way of working with this energy, this heat, is sometimes called the practice of loving kindness, or loving kindness meditation, or contemplating what is meant by loving kindness, because you have this heat and this openness, and you can feel everything. Your own feelings are amplified, but you also feel the feelings of others. And that is painful, but it's also the gateway of real compassion. So in Buddhist thought, as I understand it, which is limited, loving kindness is rooted in recognizing that you are no different than anyone else. Even if they do egregious, horrible things, which some people do, they're still human and you're not different than them, even though you're not going to be an asshat like other people. You have that you have that capacity. So anyway, that's not our topic today, but we want to open this to others. And it seems that when we worry about our own suffering alone, which you have to worry about, and I'm not saying you should ignore it or minimize it, but when we think only of our own suffering, and you should examine your experience to see if what I'm saying jives with what you have experienced, the world shrinks and everything becomes evidence of one of two things. My suffering will end, my suffering will not end. The world gets smaller and smaller and smaller. And in so doing, we feel more disempowered. Now, when your feelings are out of control or raging, it can feel very disempowering, because you feel, oh, I don't have power over these things I feel. Au contraire, my friends. There is one way to reestablish a sense of power and dominion in the good, non-aggressive ways over your own feelings. And that is by caring about others who feel what you feel. Don't take my word for that. Don't take my word for any damn thing. You have to check these things for yourself and see. And I really, 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 really mean that. So an example of how one might do this is, in addition to lying around going, I don't want this suffering, and I don't want you to suffer either, you could wish for yourself. First, you feel the suffering because it's real. And then you wish for yourself relief from that suffering, because of course, that's usually where we stop. Now, the Buddhist practice of loving kindness suggests taking at least three additional steps. The next step is to wish for the people that you love that they too could be relieved from this kind of suffering, should they be experiencing it now or will in the future, because everybody gets their heart broken. So you could take the emphasis off yourself and picture someone that you really love It could be your child. It could be a parent, a friend. It could be a pet. It could be someone you just love. You don't have to ask why. You just do. And you feel their suffering of heartbreak, should it be current or in the future. And you wish for them the same relief that you wish for yourself. Now, that's a very easy thing to do because we don't want the people we love to suffer. Next step, you think of someone you would call a stranger, which is everybody else, basically. A neighbor, someone you can sort of picture, but you don't have any feelings about, positive or negative. A neighbor, the person who seems to drive the bus when you take the bus to work. Someone that works in your office, you know, 10 rooms away, or just someone that you see every now and then, but you don't have any relationship with them. But you can say to yourself, because it's true, they're going to have this too. They either have it right now or they're going to have it. And you can further extend the wish for relief from that suffering to the stranger. I don't know you, but I wish for your relief. You can do that. Then, penultimate step, you think of someone you hate, you really don't like. If you don't like the word hate, you can say some other word. But someone who you think has caused damage to you, to the world, now, in history, you know, whatever it is, someone you're like, I do not like them. If your heart is broken from lost love, it's probably not great to start with that person. But someone else who has harmed you or harmed others. And you could think, well, I don't forgive you. And I really don't like you. And I wish you would go away. However, I also recognize that you, now or in the future, will suffer, are suffering or will suffer with this pain. I don't have to like you to wish you relief from that pain. So you think of this person, you're like, okay, I really don't like you, but I long for your relief. And then you think of all beings. This is the final step. All beings, that's a lot. Human beings, animal beings, insect beings, all beings will suffer. I don't know who designed this, y'all, but so it seems. And you wish the same for all beings. May all beings be free of the suffering of heartbreak. And then if you ever try this, you'll see, I believe, that this is the seat of power when it comes to love, by offering it. It can seem, especially when a romantic relationship ends, that love is gone and will never come back. But I want to tell you, and I'm not a Pollyanna, it's always there. If you give it, if you wait for it, hopefully you'll get, you know, you'll be lousy with love. But you can always place love into the situation by offering it. Doesn't mean being a doormat. Doesn't mean minimizing your own pain. Doesn't mean being nice. It means caring and being awake. So in the traditional practice of loving kindness, which we're not going to do, but I'll just give you the little steps, and I'll try to include a link in this email to a guided practice. You start by sitting just for a minute or two in meditation, which we're going to do for 10 minutes shortly. And then you think, oh God, I wish for myself relief from this suffering. So you could say to yourself, and you can substitute your own words, may I be peaceful. May my broken heart heal. Just spend a minute or moments wishing those things for yourself. Then you bring to mind someone you love and you wish for them the same. You feel they're suffering. May you be peaceful. May your broken heart heal. And then you do that for the stranger. I don't know you, but ditto. The enemy, I don't like you, but ditto. And then all beings. May all beings be peaceful. May all beings experience healing from a broken heart. And then you close with another minute or so of just sitting, just breath awareness, what we're going to do shortly. And then it's not going to make your suffering go away, but it's going to put the suffering that is very real into play as a source of strength. I hope that makes sense. It's very powerful. And I'll just close by saying it has nothing to do with being nice. It has everything to do with acknowledging what is and offering it so that it could possibly be of benefit to you and others. And when "and others" comes in, the sense of power returns. Don't take my word for that. And if you experiment with this, let me know. Okay, let's sit. Please begin your practice by forgetting everything I just said, or just setting it aside. Just let go. And you could start by seeing where you are, right here. What's going on here? Nothing, usually. Yeah, I'm just sitting here. Okay, establish your posture. The hands rest on the legs, palms down. They're not working, they're resting. And just this act of resting the hands sort of signals to the rest of the body parts, we're all going to rest now. Rest means being with what is, not falling asleep, but being with what is. I feel heavy from the waist down, rooted right here. I'm not trying to get anywhere. We're trying to feel where we are, because that's very helpful. And feel light from the waist up. Sit up straight and let the front body soften at the same time, so you can feel the strength of the back body and the softness of the front body together. And if you try to find, well, where does the strength of the back stop and the softness of the front begin? You can't, because they are inseparable. And this is true on every level. You are strength and softness inseparable. And you can feel that just in your own body. But you're also just sitting there, so no big deal. Let the shoulders relax. Mouth is closed because you don't have to talk. Let the muscles of speech relax, the jaw, the throat, the tongue. And notice that there is no one in there talking. It is quiet. So you can sort of rest back into your own quietude. It's always there. Breath is natural in and out through the nose, which means whatever you're doing before I said breathing, just keep doing that. No breathing technique, just your breath. And if you have a cold or something, you know, breathe through the mouth, but otherwise, breathing in and out through the nose. The eyes are open because we're practicing being awake. The gaze is cast down to a comfortable spot in front. And the eyes are soft. Relax your brow. Now let your attention come to rest on the feeling of the body breathing. We're not observing it, we're feeling it. So your body's breathing. Let your attention mix with that feeling. Merge with that feeling, which just means you notice the body expands and releases. Expands and lets go. And your attention, your mind can ride that wave, not by trying or to grip it, but by resting on it. Let your mind rest on the sensation of breath. Nothing to do right now. Let your mind be as it is. Lots of thoughts, few thoughts, same thing. Doesn't matter. Just let it be what it is. It always makes thoughts. Like the eyes see or the ears hear, there's no off switch for these things. No problem. The primary attention is on the feeling of the body breathing, while the thoughts stream or rush or crash by or float. And please, no effort is needed to change or fix or slow or speed or anything. It's just something happening. No big deal. Your primary attention is on the breath, while this thought stream just keeps flowing. And if you notice that you forgot that to do that and you jumped in the stream and you, meaning you are absorbed by thought, not a thought, a line of thought, to the point where you have forgotten about your breath. Very good. Notice that. Label that moment silently thinking. Let go. Come back and begin again. So we'll sit together in silence for a few minutes until you hear the bell. Thank you so much for your practice. It's important. Thank you for practicing with me. And thank you for practicing together.